Welcome to worship from Westwood Church. I'm Pastor Molly Vetter, and it's my joy to welcome you into this community this morning. Whether this is your first time here or you've been a regular part of us and are a member of our congregation, we're glad to have you with us. Our community is richer because of your participation, and we give thanks for and celebrate the diversities of age and race, of gender identity and sexual orientation that become the body of Christ together through community. Thank you for choosing to be with us this morning. We're continuing a sermon series called Redefining Faith, and this morning we contemplate what the word seeking might have to say to us today. It's also Black History Month, and we're celebrating Holy Communion. We hope you will participate along as much as you're able from home. You can download the worship guide so that you have words to pray and music to sing with us as we go. We hope you will join in. May the peace of Christ be with you.
People are the journey, now and ever, now. Let us pray. Gracious God, hear our songs. Gather us in as one people, that we may worship you as one body. Heal our broken hearts and bind up our wounds, so that we may come into your presence healthy and whole. As we seek your wisdom, help us to discern your greatness as we honor the power and glory of your love. Amen.
A reading from Isaiah 40, 21 through 31. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is God who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to live in. Who brings princes to naught and makes the rulers of the earth as nothing. Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown, scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth, when God blows upon them, and they wither, and the tempest carries them off like stubble. To whom then will you compare me, or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see. Who created these? He who brings out their host and numbers them, calling them all by name, because he is great in strength, mighty in power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. God does not faint or grow weary. God's understanding is unsearchable. God gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our gospel lesson today comes from Mark in chapter 1, beginning in verse 29. It continues directly after last week's lesson. As soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns, so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Holy God, may my words and our thoughts and our lives reflect the fullness and beauty of your grace. We pray in your holy name. Amen. The other day I had one of those mornings that's less rare than it used to be, where our family was gathered at home, just sort of hanging out after breakfast, talking about what to do. I was in a funk, and my husband Matt asked what I wanted to do. The question seemed so bizarre because I didn't really want to do anything, or anything that I wanted to do, I couldn't do. I've been missing the gift of being together with friends and loved ones, of just hanging out at home and watching the kids play. All of those things that I thought I wanted were inaccessible, or reveal something of the privilege with which I live, that this inability to do that simple, joyous thing is causing such a feeling. But I know it's shared by many of us, the sense of exhaustion from this time of long isolation, the burdens and weight of the grief that we bear from pandemic, from economic uncertainty, from the realities of racism and its long histories of trauma, from the cost of bearing the burdens of life in separation from one another. As I was thinking about just how wild the question seemed, what do I want to do? It tapped into this spirit that's in some way connected to the word I hope we might contemplate together today, which is seeking. Whether we describe this feeling, this posture, as wanting or seeking or searching, it's a longing for a something else. It's a desire for a something more or something different. This posture is deeply human, and I think widely experienced in this time of pandemic. So I'm excited to look with you into Scripture to see what we might learn from today. The gospel passage for today from Mark's gospel takes place just after last week's lesson, when Jesus appeared in the synagogue in Capernaum and cast out an unclean spirit. Here, Jesus continues this work of healing that's also described as liberating from demons and spirits. And again, we have this the difficulty of overcoming the difference in worldview and assumption from our time and Jesus' time, the discomfort of words like demons and evil spirits used to describe the act of healing. And I want to again affirm that when we use these words, when we enter into this space of contemplating how Mark was conveying the good news of Jesus Christ, I would want to mark that I mean to use them not in the way that the Christian church has too often used this label of demonic or evil spirits as a way of casting judgment and pushing out people in our own families and communities and world as if we and we alone possess the truth. Instead, this story, these stories for me are an invitation to dare to watch a wild scene I do not fully understand. As Jesus demonstrates incredible power to heal Simon's mother-in-law from a fever that was devastating her, sufficiently so that she got up to serve them. As the people of the city flood to where he is, everyone coming so that he can do this work of liberating and healing. And then this moment where Jesus pulls apart and goes to a deserted place in order to pray. And when his followers come to get him, they tell Jesus that everyone has been searching for him. And Jesus says, well, then I got to go somewhere else. And he moves throughout the Galilee. There's something important happening in this move. Jesus is offering life and healing and liberation. And it's drawing people to him who are searching and seeking for that which he has the power to offer. But Jesus goes in another direction, as if to point us to a quality of God's work in the world that is unsettling and also brings incredible life. And that is this idea that God offers us not what we think we want, but something else, something more. Literary scholars would tell us that one of the differences between the word searching and the word seeking is that searching has as its object the location where we are looking. You search your bedroom for where you set your watch. Seeking has as its object the thing you want. So you seek the watch. Search the bedroom, seek the watch. The invitation then of searching invites us to the place and geography that we know. And the posture of seeking invites us to contemplate what we're after. Both of our scripture texts for today use in English the word searching. The people are searching their hometown of Capernaum for Jesus so that they might be healed, so that their loved ones might be liberated. But Jesus points them in a different direction, seeking not just that healing, but a something more. The text from the prophet Isaiah is one that invites us to contemplate a discomfort with the idea of searching. As the prophet speaks to people in exile, offering a word of hope about the power and majesty of God. And in order to do so, Isaiah begins with these questions. Have you not known? Have you not seen? And then describes God, God's dominion over the world, using this ancient worldview in which the world was a flat surface over which the heavens were stretched that held back the waters above the heavens from this dome of air above our flat earth, in which God sat at the top of the dome in order to have dominion over everything that is. God in a place of power and majesty, a place where everything could be seen and known. In this worldview, the prophet Isaiah describes God as somehow unsearchable, which is not to say that we shouldn't seek God, but something about God's world is unsearchable. It's an invitation to a discomfort with the distance between these two ideas, a distance between ways that we might understand what it means to be seeking people, that prevent us from possessing God too tightly. I mean to say, I think there's something powerful about God resisting being satisfied or giving us satisfaction with merely what we know to ask for or to claim. There is an invitation in our faith to seek after God, knowing that God is always a something more. And the invitation to this seeking comes alongside God's work in the world, which in our gospel text so clearly is about healing and liberation and life. In this meantime, in this world, in this life, we find ourselves seeking, searching, wanting, longing for a something else, a something with less sickness, a something with less division, a something where our histories of racism and oppression no longer constrain what might be possible. The power to begin to envision the grandness of that possibility, of what might be in God, the thing that we're called to seek after, that power has long been possessed by poets and artists who have given voice and vision to the thing that we seek. This week, I was blessed to spend a bit of time with the poetic words of the late Polly Murray. Polly was known for many contributions to the world and to particularly our U.S. American context. Polly was the first African American woman ordained as a priest in the Episcopal Church USA, but prior to that had a long career as a lawyer, and in fact wrote policy through a study funded by United Methodist Women in 1951 that became a basis others built on to fight for civil rights decisions through the 50s and 60s. Thurgood Marshall cited her work as being a foundational piece on which arguments and rulings were built. Polly persisted in seeking ways to contribute to the world, to dreaming of a different and more beautiful future for our world, even constrained by so many limitations. Though given scholarships and prizes, she could not be admitted to the schools where she sought to study because she was Black and because she was a woman. Nonetheless, she persisted and contributed in incredible ways. She helped found the National Organization for Women and also the Congress on Racial Equality. She was one who pushed against the barriers and definitions of what it means to be a woman and identified herself also with qualities that are male and shared love relationship with a woman. She refused to be controlled by even a world that put so many limits around her. She published a book of poems and wrote eloquently, helping us all envision this thing that guides and pulls us forward. I want to share with you her poem entitled Prophecy. I sing of a new American, separate from all others, yet enlarged and diminished by all others. I am the child of kings and serfs, freemen and slaves, having neither superiors nor inferiors, progeny of all colors, all cultures, all systems, all beliefs. I have been enslaved, yet my mind, my spirit is unbound. I have been cast aside, but I sparkle in the darkness. I have been slain, but live on in the rivers of history. I seek no conquest, no wealth, no power, no revenge. I seek only discovery of the illimitable heights and depths of my own being. I seek only discovery, Polly writes, of the illimitable heights and depths of my own being. As they write of this seeking, the seeking after discovery itself, I hear an invitation that goes to the heart of the gospel, a seeking after a something more that cannot be quantified or contained or limited, but that invites us on, a gift of healing that restores us not back to what was, but to what will be. Way back at the beginning of the gospel text that we shared today, as Jesus enters the home of Simon's mother-in-law and heals her from a fever, it describes how immediately she began to serve. It's one of those lines in our text that makes me a little bit uncomfortable, because the gospel, again, participates in this assumption that women exist to serve. And for too long, those service roles have been a limiting factor that prevent women from participating in any way of being. Yet the word that is used here in Mark's gospel to describe her service is one that Jesus will continue to use throughout his ministry to describe the work of discipleship. Simon's mother-in-law was healed from a fever, and she began to follow Jesus, to seek after the beloved community he was inviting her and all of us toward. The invitation of the gospel is to do this work of seeking, of desiring that thing that we can't yet see, that's not a fixed location, nor is it an object, but is an activity. This is, I think, why Isaiah ends these eloquent words from chapter 40 with a reminder of the blessing of God, which gives us the power to mount up with strength like eagles, to run and not be weary. The invitation of discipleship is to be one of those who are active, who are seeking and doing, who are loving and healing and tending and offering grace. It comes in a dynamic participation with God, not by our power alone, and not by just sitting idly by as God takes care of the mess, but by some kind of participation together that makes us co-creators together of the world that's coming into being. Those who wait for the Lord will mount up with strength like eagles. We're called to wait for the Lord, to attend to the Lord, to somehow be simultaneously seeking and waiting, longing for and participating in. This is an invitation to a dynamic and active, interdependent way of being in God that dares to lift our vision toward a higher possibility and also claim a something even here and now. Howard Thurman used the words from the beloved spiritual, "There is a balm in Gilead," as a way of inviting us to connect to this power that draws us onward, that dares us to be people who are seeking and searching and pursuing. He calls this the dream of peace. He says the dream of peace continues to nourish the hope of the human race. The dream persists even though we do not know what peace would be like, because it has never been experienced. Hope is fed by a conviction deeper than the processes of thought that the destiny of humanity is good. It is this spirit that is captured by the spiritual. Yes, there is a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul. This morning, we come together to remember that there is indeed a balm in Gilead. This spiritual answers the question posed by the prophet Jeremiah, "Is there no balm in Gilead?" giving the assurance that comes from God and the community of faith, who, even as we still have such distance to cover, see and believe and experience that God is at work in our midst, and that God is doing the work of healing and liberating. There is a balm in Gilead. And it is healing our sin-sick soul, not as individuals, but as a people together, as we seek to overcome the limitations that have prevented us from being the body of Christ, So this morning, as we gather in worship, we share in song, in assurance that there is a balm in Gilead. And we share at the communion table to remember that even in our isolation, even in the midst of a world of injustice and division, we are united in the one body of Christ. And though we may not even like those with whom we belong in the body of Christ, we surely and truly belong together. And we seek after understanding and knowing and experiencing the fullness of life that comes by gift of God's grace. May it be so. Amen.
Mm-hmm. A prayer of intercession by the Church of Scotland. In these moments, we bring before you, O God, those whose lives are high on our agenda and in need of your care and active, creative love, those on the threshold of death, those enduring terminal illness, those who have realized that death is near, and all those struck down or badly injured. May they experience the true life that can only be found in you. And in the last days, may their time be lived out in dignity and peace. Watch over all who love and care for them and support them through the community of faith, active in love and care. For all who are bereaved, for those who've lost someone they love, and those who ache after many long, lonely days, those shocked and shattered by an unexpected loss, and those who have lost a child, a life's companion, or a close friend, in your mercy, may those who mourn receive comfort, support, and understanding so that they might be able to express grief and begin to find healing and hope. There are many who find life these days unbearable, the deeply distressed and depressed, those in overwhelming and unrelenting pain, those raked with guilt and fear. Grant release to those who suffer and bring them comfort in the knowledge of your acceptance, forgiveness, and love. Comfort all who cry out silently behind locked doors for hope and encouragement with the awareness that your presence is with them. Grip once again the frail and the fragile, the elderly and those incapacitated, with the powerful sense of thanksgiving for all their experience of life as your children. Sustain them in the days ahead with knowledge that they can trust you and rest in faith in your love, knowing that nothing in this life or in death can separate them from your care and love that is in Christ Jesus, our Savior and our Redeemer. Amen.
This morning we celebrate the sacrament of Holy Communion. Christ's table invites to it all who desire to share in this feast of grace. Because we are physically separated today, I encourage you to find bread or a bread product in your home that you can use for this sacramental feast, and juice or wine or another beverage from the earth that you can use in your cup. Ordinarily, the sacrament of communion reminds us, as we break a common loaf of bread and share it amongst ourselves, of our unity together. Today, our sacramental meal gives us occasion to celebrate how in our separated places, we bear one unity that comes from our belonging in Jesus Christ. I invite you to join as we prepare our hearts and our feast for celebration. We begin with confession. Let us pray. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. This proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. Let us now set our tables. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord, our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth.
God of Abraham and Sarah, God of Miriam and Moses, God of Mary and Joseph.
God of Fannie Lou Hamer and Martin Luther King Jr., God of Ida B. Wells and Bishop Leonton T.C. Kelly, God of Polly Murray and Howard Thurman.
God of the apostles and the martyrs, God of our mothers and fathers, God of our children to all generations.
And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made us a new covenant by water and the Spirit.
On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me."
And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on all of us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood.
Renew our communion with all your saints. Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, strengthen us to run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith.
By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, and with your Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever.
Let us join in the prayer that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Because of the power of God, even though we are many people in different physical spaces, we are one body in Christ, and we share in one common meal of grace. The bread that we share across physical distance is a sharing of the very body of Christ.
This is the body of Christ given for you.
We share one cup, and it is a sign that we belong in the new covenant of love.
This is the cup of salvation, shared freely.
Eternal God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you have given yourself to us.
Grant that we may go into the world in the strength of your Spirit to give ourselves for others, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for being with us for worship today. I hope that you have felt the presence of the Holy Spirit where you are. And I hope that you will take opportunity this week to go deeper in your life of faith, in your personal devotion, and in your service to the world, in your connection to God and to one another. It is a privilege to have you as a part of our community. You're invited to join our follow-up conversation at 11 a.m. this morning by Zoom. The link is in our e-news. If you're not on our e-news list or want to share a prayer concern or other piece of information, you can do that at westwoodumc.org/connect. We also invite you to continue to give your tithes and offerings online in support of the work of our church ministry. We are grateful for all of the ways that this ministry is possible because of the contributions of so many. This morning, we have a prayer shawl for a young girl named Molly Stein-Sapir, a 12-year-old daughter of an old friend of Sabrina Simmons, who was in an accident on her bicycle and is currently in the ICU. We pray for her healing. Will you pray with me? Holy God, pour out your healing and your blessing and your life on young Molly and her family as they await to see what will come, as they long for healing and hope. We pray that you would both be a presence of comfort in the waiting and a source of healing. We pray for all those who are today in a dangerous situation, tending the bedside of loved ones and seeking hope. Be present with them and with all of us, and especially with Molly. In your name we pray. Amen. And now, as we conclude our time together as a part of this service, I pray that you would go out from here to be people who seek not only for what we know to look for, but who seek where God will lead us, and who seek and wait, trusting that God is at work in our midst as we participate in the unfolding of beloved community, in the building of God's kingdom. Be in peace. Amen.